I think it's fair to say that one of the most galvanising social movements in recent times has been hashtag MeToo. It's 1 year since it started with the allegations against Harvey Weinstein and then lots of other powerful or famous men. Along with sexual assault and abuse, Me Too has also tried to expose the more kind of ambiguous grey areas of consent and harassment that might involve, you know, just a bit too much touching or comments on appearance or pursuing a woman thinking she's playing hard to get. But scenarios like these have caused some confusion for men and resistance to the message of the Me Too movement. So where to from here for ordinary men and women? For Life Matters, Alexandra Fisher has this story.
At a local watering hole in Sydney's popular new town, patrons mingle over drinks at the end of a busy work day. It's been 1 year since one of the decade's most powerful movements, Me Too, swept across the world. But where are we now? I ask a group of young men at the pub if anything has changed.
Obviously, what has changed is probably awareness. I'm more aware that maybe when I was younger, what is referred to as like catcalling, I kind of realised maybe that would have been very rude and disrespectful.
His friend says that with age, his approach to women has naturally changed as he's gained more female friends and felt less pressure to prove himself.
You know, when you're in a group and it's both sexes, I think that maybe you're not doing the, I don't know, too aggressive dating, or I don't know, like the approach on how you behave. I don't know, that's how I feel. Anyway.
The next day, I meet my friend Andrew.
Hey, come in.
He says more men should be involved in the Me Too conversation.
Maybe men feel that they're unable to engage in that conversation due to fear of maybe getting taken out of context, maybe, or the idea that they see it as a women's issue and that it doesn't involve them, when realistically it does, because essentially men are the perpetrators. And I think men need to be educated in what constitutes acceptable and non-acceptable behaviour.
Dr. Bianca Philiborne is contributing to a book on social change in a post-Me Too world. She's a lecturer in criminology in the School of Social Sciences at the University of New South Wales. The book looks at ways to navigate sexual relationships in a more ethical and healthy way. Dr. Philiborne says consent should be continually sought throughout a sexual relationship and be explicitly agreed upon rather than implied, so through verbalisation rather than body language. She says we need to challenge entrenched social behaviours that can be harmful.
We need to change the social and cultural context that says that, you know, women can't initiate sexual encounters, or that women have to be these kind of passive recipients of men's advances. You know, we need to open up the possibilities for women to say yes to sex and to actively pursue sex without being punished or judged negatively, because I think that still happens for women. But also that when women say no, or that they're not interested in something, that is taken seriously, and that's not seen as, you know, convince me, as opposed to no. Likewise, we need to encourage men to rethink their role as these active pursuers who just keep going, you know, regardless of the signals that they're getting from the person that they're interested in. So that onus is on all of us.
Andrew says some men are struggling to find their place and role in society. They're questioning behaviours once seen as acceptable, such as pursuing a woman who seems to be playing hard to get, touching the opposite sex on the shoulder or back, like you might with a male friend, and telling a woman she looks beautiful.
Men are a lot more lost, and they don't understand their place in the world. And it's like, you know, they're going through the idea that a man needs to be big and buff and tanned and have the six pack, and they need to look like this, and they need to be hyper masculine, they need to chase women, and but at the same time they're also told that, oh no, they shouldn't be chasing women. So again, it comes back to this idea of ambiguity between what a man should be doing and what a man should not be doing. and they're kind of almost at odds with each other. So I guess it breeds confusion.
Dr. Philiborne says she understands why men are confused, because society has taught them problematic behaviours and now they need to rewire. But she says both sexes have a part to play.
I think part of the resistance that we see to the Me Too movement is because it's initiated by women, and that is, I mean, that's problematic. You know, we should ideally get to a place where men can listen to what women have to say without getting defensive. However, I think having men leading this conversation with other men will help to reduce some of that, the resistance and the backlash that we're seeing. So we really need to see men stepping up and setting examples for other men in their behaviour, how they go about their own sexual practices, challenging the behaviours of other men when they're, you know, engaging in sexist or you know, problematic behaviours, whether that's making, you know, sexist jokes or talking about, you know, scoring women or like trying to pick up to show off to your mates. So challenging those types of combative sexual behaviours, but also having conversations with your male friends about sex and relationships. That I think that is ultimately going to be most productive in generating change. But like I said, I think it would also be good to be able to break down those gendered barriers so that we're all able to have a conversation about this together, because it is everyone's behaviour and, you know, everyone's understandings of sex and consent that we need to be changing and challenging.
Marking the one-year anniversary of the Me Too movement, criminologist Dr. Bianca Philiborne and a range of men trying to work out their response and role in it, with ABC producer Alexandra Fisher.